Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Darnold balls out. Picked up by Verse. Off to the races. And gone for the touchdown. Witherspoon knocked it out. And Verse took care of the rest.
Oof. Rough last 2 weeks for Sam Darnold. That's one of his 9 sacks.
Jared Verse.
I mean, that defensive line for the Rams is awesome, but...
They went from Aaron Donald to Jared Verse.
And Brandon Fisk,
yeah. It's... How's that whole not trading picks thing working out?
It's all right for them.
Or trading picks thing, I should say.
They kind of just know how to, like, build an NFL roster.
Yeah.
Watching that game last night, though, I thought that game had a real chance of being real close, fun, the whole thing. It just never was. It really never was. There was a moment where it could be 10-10, what have you. I think even if that play had stood, I just don't see how the Vikings are winning that game. They looked completely outmatched, and that was most of the playoffs this week. That was most of the playoffs, was teams looking completely outmatched. You look, Bills, Broncos, we talked about it, 31-7. Rams, Vikings, 27-9. Eagles, because of their own ineptitude, it wasn't worse. That game, though, was still 22-10. But Jordan Love is giving the ball away right off the rip. And then they kept losing, you know, wide receivers and offensive linemen. That game should have been worse. It still was a two-possession game. Ravens, Steelers, we've talked about it, 28-14. That game looked worse than the final score would indicate. And then Texans and Chargers, 32-12. 7 total turnovers between the two of the teams. And it still wasn't close. It still was not close by any stretch of the imagination. And Houston didn't play particularly well on offense at all. Stroud had moments. Nico Collins is great. The only good game was Washington and Tampa. And even then, it ends on a doink into the uprights because Zane Gonzalez, who's the kicker for Washington, could not stop playing with his hair. I didn't get to talk about this game yesterday. I'm watching that as it's happening, and I'm sitting there with my girlfriend, and we're just watching it, and I'm like, once this game's over, you know, we'll wrap up for the night. And I'm like, it's going overtime. It's just like he hasn't kicked yet, right? And I'm like, no, but look at him. He's freaking out.
Yeah.
And then he almost misses from 37 yards, and it goes in, and, you know, good to him. But for as unflappable as Jaden Daniels is, Zane Gonzalez was the exact opposite, well, a total 180.
It's a lot of, like, he's talked about it in the past, and he talked about it, I think, after the game. He, you know, he's been very open about his struggles with OCD, and I think that's, you know, it's a tough thing to go through.
I didn't know any of that because to me, just looked like he was freaking out.
No, I know. But that's of all the positions in sports, the worst ones that you could be at to have OCD as well is like a kicker in football, a goalie in any sport that has a goalie, a pitcher in baseball. Like, that just got me thinking about, like, what sport or what position should you not be? Or do you not want to be if you have OCD? And, like, that probably is one of them because there's so much pressure on, like, just the smallest thing that you do. And like I said, good for him for, like, you know, overcoming that, doing whatever he had to do. And yeah, sure, he could probably laugh about it too now because he's, you know, like he said, he
made it.
He's made it, but he's also, he's gone through this stuff. He's been very open about it. So I'm sure it's probably something he can talk about openly. And, you know, I hope none of the stuff online is kind of getting to him there, because it's a tough thing to go through. And
it is.
But he changed the entire city. Like, they hadn't won a playoff game in 20 years.
Since 05.
Yeah.
Daniels comes in year one mm-hmm. and just looks – he looks so good.
And did you see the stat about Daniels being 12 days old the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
he helped the Commanders win a playoff game before the Dolphins have won a playoff game since?
They just – they're a fun team. They are an organization that is fixing from the ground up. They get new yep. ownership. Adam Peters is in his first year at GM. Dan Quinn, first year as their head coach. And for them to win 12 games and a playoff game, I don't care how their game against Detroit goes. They can get blown out. Daniels could throw three picks. I don't care. This season has been an overwhelming success in every which way. And if you're looking around the rest of the NFC East, Dable and Shane still in New York. They don't have a quarterback. You have no idea where they're going. Dallas kind of seems like they wanted to keep McCarthy, but not long enough, so McCarthy walks. Now they have no idea what to do. They're not going to be in the Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn kind of extravaganza, because they're not even going to get a first interview with them. They missed the deadline. It's going to be Kellen Moore, by the way. Mm. The OC out of Philadelphia, it's going to be Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
They only hire, for the most part, guys that like are involved with Dallas.
Yeah.
And yes, men.
With how this is gone, they're going to hire Kellen Moore, who himself has not been a great OC for Philadelphia. That was a big reason why that game was a disaster against Green Bay. They couldn't get anybody open. It was a joke.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's not going to be Deion. Jerry Jones was not paying Mike McCarthy more than $5 million. He's not paying Deion's buyout of $8 million plus a salary.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing it. Plus, if Deion's serious about, like, I want to coach Shadur, cool. Get ready to take on a massive dead cap hit from Dak Prescott, because you'll have to trade him before July 1st.
Yeah.
It's not happening. It's a negotiation tactic, because there's been a deal from everybody I've seen on from Colorado, Benjamin Albright, who I know was on the morning show last week mm-hmm. speaking about Denver and Buffalo. He's talked about it too, that like there's been a contract that Deion can sign. This is him leveraging for just a little bit more money, either in his contract or in the NIL purse, whatever it is.
Maybe a little bit of both, too.
A little bit of both.
I think maybe the whole offseason of, yeah, I'm going to go wherever Travis and Shadur go.
He hasn't even said that, though. He has had zero aspirations for the NFL.
Oh, he hasn't actually.
All he said is, I would go to the NFL if I could coach both Shadur and Shiloh.
Oh, I got it.
That's it.
Gotcha.
That's all he has said. It's been fans and media wanting to stir up, thinking that that's Deion's ultimate goal.
Mm-hmm.
And he has always said everything but. I get it, it'd be fun. And to be fair, like I was talking with some fans last night, I would love the idea of Deion Sanders and Jerry Jones in Dallas in a disaster, by the way. It's a tire fire. They don't have much talent. They haven't paid guys like Micah Parsons, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott. It's a disaster.
Well, and did you see, too, that there's like new rules at Colorado now
mm-hmm.
that he put out, that there's like, you know, players can't wear slides or tank tops, sit in mm-hmm. like, you just do all this, you know, make sure their grades are up and all this stuff. Like, he wouldn't be like instituting all this new stuff if he was just going to leave, right? Like, he's not just sitting there going like, yeah, we're going to really crack down this year and really
I also don't think he would have tried to get a quarterback for this year and a quarterback mm-hmm. for the future. He would not have put that much effort into it.
Right. And unless he's kind of keeping both doors open, because if you're him, you can set yourself up for the future, but you can also set up whoever's coming in there for the future.
Sure, no, because, absolutely, yeah. Instead of leaving Colorado high and dry, sort of deal.
Right, exactly. And at the
Except,
same time,
you know, those guys will leave the moment Deion does.
Yeah,
you can only do so much. Those guys are coming to be coached
to
by
be
Deion,
by, coached by you. Yeah, right. So it's just kind of a weird situation, and I don't think it's ever going to end up with him being in the NFL, especially Dallas. So I get what he's doing, but I do not get what Jerry Jones is doing. If Jerry Jones is seriously thinking that he's going to come to Dallas, then he's not crazy.
He's just keeping Dallas in the media for like a week or two.
Mm,
that's it.
Yeah,
because he has no plan for the head coach. I think he assumed he'd get Mike McCarthy back. That's why they blocked him from talking to Chicago last week.
Yep.
They assumed they'd get the deal done, but they never really put too much effort into it. I think mainly because, and I heard Colin Cowherd talk about this on his show too, and I fully agree. McCarthy probably wanted it's for sure he wanted more years because he sees a rebuild coming and he knows I'm going to need more years to get this done.
Exactly.
Jerry was unwilling to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so they parted ways.
I at the same time, too, I think it's the right choice. I think if you come to a point in every franchise mm-hmm. where you're really good for a long time or you're just about there for a long time and you just got to just full change.
Yeah.
You know, change everything out.
And but, saying, yeah, if you were going to get rid of him or you were serious about it, you should have gotten rid of him before so you could jump into the Aaron Glenn, Ben Johnson, Joe Brady, Liam Cohen kind of sweepstakes that's going on. Hell, even Vrabel. I know he's kind of for sure going to New England. I get it. But you could at least throw your name in the ring, see what happens.
Well, now he is for sure.
Well, yes, I mean, yeah.
But by the time
you've gotten rid of McCarthy, he was already done.
Yeah.
You kind of sat on your hands. And that's my thing, too. Like, I've mentioned it a lot. I don't think Brady's leaving. I also don't think Ben Johnson's leaving Detroit unless Brady's going to do some magic with Vegas, which it sounds like he might be able to do. But I don't think Brady's leaving. The jobs available suck. They're terrible. The best one's taken up already by Vrabel with New England. They have a ton of cap space, maybe their future quarterback already locked down, and the owner wants to win more than almost anything. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't really meddle that much. He kind of just lets you figure it out.
Yeah.
That's why Bill Belichick was able to be the GM forever, and they're already bringing over some guys that Vrabel knows into the front office. It's working. Then the other kind of, I guess, you know, big job, if you want it, is Chicago.
If you're Mike McCarthy, do you take that job?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think Chicago is going to aggressively pursue him because, unlike the coordinators, as much as I'm a big fan of Ben Johnson and I think Joe Brady would be a great hire, the whole thing, Mike McCarthy is a known commodity.
Yeah.
You know you're going to get winning seasons. You know you're going to make the playoffs. And he's worked with young rosters before. He may not get the absolute most out of Caleb Williams, but in a bad season, he had 20 touchdowns and 6 picks and over 60 completion percentage.
Right.
He wasn't a disaster.
Yeah.
And he was with a dead man walking coach and an offense coordinator that halfway through his first season they fired. In Shane Waldron.
And if
McCarthy, they could do miles worse than McCarthy.
Right. And if you think about it too, like if a bad season with Caleb Williams is like what you just said with the 20 touchdowns, like that, if you add in the good coach, is Williams then good enough to kind of make up for McCarthy's, you know,
I think
missing
so.
Pieces?
I think he has still all the talent in the world.
Because McCarthy, like, in his time in Dallas, it's been like, yeah, no, it's mostly been on the fact that Dak Prescott was not great in the some of the big moments. I mean, sure, McCarthy had his moments too, but like, if you can get a quarterback that doesn't make the same mistakes Dak Prescott did, then you're kind of playing complementary coach quarterback there. Like, you know, if the coach can build up the quarterback in one area and the quarterback can build up the coach in the other, that's kind of what you're ideally going for when you're looking for that combination. So if McCarthy can work with that with Caleb Williams, then there's definitely something there. The other one that I thought, and you're going to hate this, but I thought it was just interesting that they're talking to him, Cliff Kingsbury with the Bears.
Snake oil salesman.
He coached Caleb Williams before.
Snake oil salesman.
I wonder if there's anything there.
I think he's a fine coordinator.
Yeah,
he has
for
zero
sure.
idea what to do as head coach. Mm-hmm. Zero idea. His
and there's guys like that. But there's
worse.
Guys like that, which is fine. Like, if you're a good coordinator but not a good head coach, then sure.
His offenses get worse every second half of a season. Going back to Texas Tech, I think he's just being helped out that Jaden Daniels is this good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
His best receiver is Diame Brown, or his second best receiver is Diame Brown. He's hitting for almost 100 yards against Tampa Bay. He's throwing dimes to Terry McLaurin. And then you have a coach in Dan Quinn who looks at fourth downs and licks his chops. He's ready to go. I like everything Washington is building moving forward. I think they've got the quarterback. He's mature. He seems to have just no fear in the big moments. I'm not saying they're going to beat Detroit. I think they are going to lose to Detroit. I think they could scare him a little bit, though. And I'm very, very excited about that moving forward. I think they're going to be a fun team in the NFC. And again, you look at around the NFC. Excuse me, the NFC East, if you're Washington, Giants are in a disaster with Dable and Chain. Dallas, we're talking about it now, they're letting go of McCarthy. They haven't really paid Dak. CeeDee Lamb hasn't been paid. Micah Parsons hasn't been paid. You have no idea of a complete rebuild's going up. And then the Eagles, for as talented as they are, they leave a lot of meat on the bone. You're not sure about Nick Sirianni. I think Kellen Moore's a terrible OC, but they've got a ton of talent. But even then, in the middle of the Eagles-Packers game, because he's got one catch, A.J. Brown's sitting there reading a book, which has now become a bestseller, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. they're a nightmare. If Washington keeps the train on the tracks, hits a few more picks, and keeps it moving forward, I think they win an NFC East title within 2 years. They could win it next year. They are, I think, that good. They won 12 games this year in their first year of this kind of rebuild. And Jaden Daniels looks awesome. We got bit by C.J. Stroud. I get it, the whole thing. And they played a bad schedule. I understand. But at a certain point, you still got to take what you're seeing and go, all right, he's good. He is good. And to be the first quarterback to win on the road since 2012, rookie quarterback, excuse me, to win on the road since 2012. That's huge. And he did it against a guy in Baker Mayfield who was dealing, and he was making plays. Mike Evans was eating Marshawn Lattimore alive, and he had zero fear. Zero fear. I like what Washington's bringing. I love him a lot. Again, that also tells you, though, how hard it is to win on the road. We were talking about in the break, looking back at this Bills-Ravens matchup. Harbaugh does still hold the record at 8 road playoff wins. That's the most by any coach in NFL history. A lot of them were early, though. A lot of them were early with those great defenses, kind of the last years of Ed Reed and Ray Lewis and Terrell Suggs, and then young Joe Flacco. It's a lot of those early runs,
yeah.
Especially like 08 when Flacco's a rookie, what have you, and well, Harbaugh's rookie year as well. The last one, though, was 2020 against Tennessee. Ultimately, kind of a bad Tennessee team that was sort of overachieving. That was sort of their thing. But I'm excited for this game. But, man, I mean, legacies are going to kind of be defined by this. Early legacies are going to be defined by this.
Yeah.
And that's maybe my only kind of nerve is what are the next, realistically, year going to be spent talking about? For either team, whoever loses
right.
this game,
because it's
what's the next year going to be?
Because for the
Ravens, you've been the one seed twice in this run.
Mm-hmm.
You've been great. The yeah. Bills, you've been the two seed for like 4 years in a row. You keep winning the wild card round. You keep doing this, keep doing that. You keep breaking records. I mean, this year, the everything eats or everybody eats worked. 30 passing touchdowns, 30 rushing touchdowns. The most by any. That's the first time a team has ever done it. You have the most touchdowns scored in a season for a team. And you were injured a lot on defense. You can kind of argue like you kind of just figured it out. It didn't matter. You won 13 games. You beat the 2-1 seeds in the respective conferences. If you lose, what do you do? Mike Shope was talking about this yesterday. Like, what do you do? Do you want to change a ton of stuff? You probably shouldn't. I think the Bills are going to move off from Matthew Smiley. There's enough evidence to do so. You're going to have draft picks, sure. But it kind of gets to a point of, like, when will it happen for either organization? Somebody will leave this kind of sitting there in their chair going, I don't know what to do, for mm-hmm. at least, I think, a night or two of just, I don't know what to do. I don't know what comes next.
Right. And you brought up the whole, like, you know, how it's going to be a talking point for a year. It's just because of the fact that it's the same thing every single time.
Mm.
And, you know, the Ravens last season were what the Bills are this season. They just ended up getting the one seed. The Bills last season are what the Ravens are this year, where they kind of had a rocky year and then all of a sudden turned it on at the end of the season, won their division, and made it to the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy how you can, and you can even go down to the players and they mirror each other with Allen and Lamar. I mean, Lamar yep. Jackson has the year this year of what Allen had last year, basically. So it's kind of this, like, you wish this was the AFC Championship game, right? Like this should be the AFC Championship game. But unfortunately, you have to hope that whoever wins this game can go out and beat the Chiefs the next week. Because I think both Bills and Ravens fans will agree that they want the other, if they lose, they want the other to win the next game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you just want the Chiefs to be gone. Like, you don't want that anymore. I mean, I just saw a meme on the internet. It's Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader fighting, and that's Bills Ravens, and then in the background is the Emperor as the Chiefs. Like,
yeah.
that's how this feels. Like, but at the same time, it's still that defining moment where you know the game is going to be incredible, and you know both teams are going to put up an amazing fight, but I don't know if there's any way to feel good about a loss in this scenario for either team. There's not something, there's not one thing that could happen for either team in this game where if you lose, you still feel like, hey, you know, but this happened. So, like, whatever, you know, like there's not even like, hey, the Bills shut down Derrick Henry, but Lamar Jackson was still him and
you lost,
went out and did it. You know, like that. You can't even say that, or vice versa. You shut down Lamar Jackson, but Derrick Henry still did it. Or on the Ravens side, hey, Allen didn't rush at all, but he passed all over you. There's no, and obviously there's no good feeling in any loss. But like, look at the Broncos, right? Sure, they lose, but Bo Nix looks good. Sean Payton and Bo Nix get another year together next year for a sophomore season. You get the offseason to build up things, and you move on. But with this, it's the same. I think you said it, hitting your head against the ceiling.
Mm.
And it's just, that's also like another reason why I'm just really excited for the game and wanted to just get here. Like, I love that it's a night game, but I also hate it because we have to wait the whole day.
Mm.
But
I do like though it's gonna be the last playoff game. Like I'll be able to kind of enjoy, and also like if you win, you sort of know what your fate is.
Right. Like imagine if the Texans win.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing too. You'll know. Like, could we potentially have a third game at Highmark Stadium? That'd be awesome. Host an AFC Championship game. It's just this game can't get here fast enough. But there is a part of me that's like almost apprehensive of talking about the legacies for either team and how they go, because I know me and Derek Kramer have talked about it a lot. I think, Josh, me and you have talked about it a lot, too, is the air being taken out of the room by Mahomes and the Chiefs. You know, the MVPs, the Super Bowls, the playoff wins, the whole thing. Like, it's been dominated by them for all of the three guys' careers. Four, if you want to throw Burrow in there as well. Burrow has he's the only guy who's beaten him in the playoffs. So, like, he's been living off of that Super Bowl run since, where Lamar and Allen have been the better overall quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
They've made the crazier plays. I think most people will acknowledge like their all-time talents. Burrow might be there, but Burrow's almost kind of giving me this feeling of just like he'll always be really good. He'll put up these stats, but you wonder if all of those are just because his teams are terrible.
Well, yeah, I was just going to say.
And I don't want to take anything away, but like they were down so many games that he had to just throw it. You wonder if those stats came from that. With the Bills, what was the big stat there? Allen set 11 more quarters than Lamar did, not due to injury, just due to they were blowing teams out. He didn't need to play.
Mm-hmm.
But it is something to look at with this game of just whoever loses this is in an awful spot. And it's not to say that either team then will go on and beat the Chiefs. I think they will. But even if you lose to the Chiefs, it'll kind of go back to, but it's the Chiefs. Like, yep. Eventually they'll stop, but not now. At least you got one over on Jackson, or at least got one over on Allen, and you've added for Jackson, it's a second straight AFC Championship appearance. For Allen, it would be you're going back. For I think a lot of Bills fans too, it would just be getting past the divisional round again, not feeling like that, like that's the end all be all at home or on the road.
Right.
And you would have beaten a great quarterback to do so. You've lost to Burrow and Mahomes, but you would have beaten Jackson now twice in the playoffs as well.
I was about to say, yeah, I think another thing that's kind of underlying for this Ravens team is the last time they played the Bills was. The last time they played the Bills in the playoffs, I should say, was when you get, not blown out necessarily, but it's a very deflating game. There's no fans in the stands, but you're still playing it.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson's talked about it. He still couldn't hear anything. And there was only, what, like 10,000 fans there or something like that?
Yeah. So, I think it was like around 6,000.
That's even worse. Like, I mean, you can't imagine what it's going to be like with 70,000. So it's one of those biggest games of the year type thing, and especially the fact too that it's a rematch. Like I don't think this is going to look anything like the first game.
No.
And we talked about that a lot in the first hour, where it's you have such a different roster on both sides of the ball. The Bills have a new wide receiver in Amari Cooper. They have three of their most important defensive players healthy, but the Ravens have kind of tweaked a lot of things and are good to go, but they're missing Zay Flowers potentially. It's not confirmed yet, but I mean, it's kind of
pointing. No one
sounds
that confident on that.
Yeah, it's pointing towards the fact that he might not play or probably won't play. And if that happens and you can put Baltimore in a one-dimensional state, who do they throw to?
It's right? Going to be Rashad Bateman in the tight ends.
What is that really? Like, you know, like that. What is that? That doesn't worry me that much.
Mm.
If you can eliminate Derrick Henry or at least hamper how much he can run, and just kind of like shut him down at least 50%. That takes a huge part out of their game plan, especially if they're missing Zay Flowers. I know, I get it. Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews have been really good this year. But if you go out there and you shock them and show them that you can shut down Derrick Henry like only a few other teams can, that's a great way to start this game. And that's got to be how they start this game.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. I want to dive in a little bit more on Allen and Jackson's playoff stats compared to one another. It's been made a lot that Lamar struggles in the playoffs. I want to dive a little bit deeper into that, go through each of these games. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Back to pass, has time, and he's got Curtis Samuel wide open at the 33, cuts it back inside at the 20, puts on the Jets, gets away, 5, touchdown, Curtis Samuel, the Brooklyn native, goes all the way.
Chris Brown there on the call, one of Josh Allen's two touchdown passes from Sunday. More Curtis Samuel making a play, yards after catch. Good to see him get going as well. Team really is sort of seemingly rounding into place at the perfect time. The Bills are playing great football. It just kind of sucked that for like the last month they weren't playing necessarily meaningful games. It was all but inevitable they were going to lock up the 2 seed. So a lot of like the last month of the regular season was just kind of going through the motions. It felt as a fan as well, just going through the motions. Let's get to the playoffs. Let's stay healthy. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's keep getting connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Joe is up next. Joe, how are we doing this morning?
Good. Good. Yes, I want to come back to make a comment about what was said a few minutes ago about the Bills and the Ravens. You know, if they lose, where are they going to go from here if they hit the ceiling? And this is a rebuilding year for the Bills, and they added a lot of good young players, and I can only see their offense only getting better. So I don't see this as being a ceiling for the Bills at all. I think that with the crew they have now, that they're only going to get better, and they're going to do better even next year.
That's a really good point, Joe. Thanks for bringing that up. My only fear gets to the point I think fans would bring it up. I think even like the coaching staff that's been around there, some of the vets like Dawkins and Allen that have been there, it'll feel like, man, we cannot get past the division round. Dawkins, I heard on the Herd Colin Coward show, you know, talking about like this, and I get it. It's PR. He's going to say this regardless, but bringing up that like this is the best he has ever felt as Bills, the best he has seen McDermott and everything like that. It's just, I agree. They're going to have, what, like 9 draft picks? They'll have more in cap space, not like the Vikings or the Patriots, where they're going to have a ton in cap space and be able to make a lot of moves. But they have a lot of draft picks. They've been doing much better in the draft. I love their player development, the whole thing. And they've got, I think, clear needs that they can fill pretty quickly, especially in this draft class. It will, though, feel like, man, what the hell are we supposed to do next? The Ravens can argue, too, they have a young team. You know, Kyle Hamilton's 23 years old, 24 years old. He's already a 2-time All-Pro, second team and first team. You know, Zay Flowers, their first Pro Bowl receiver in franchise history, by the way, as a receiver, is relatively young.
That's such a wild
stat. That's the Ravens for you, baby. That's the Ravens. You know, they also have, as much as Mark Andrews started to like seem like hit a cliff, he had 10 touchdowns this year.
Yeah, he really turned it on.
You have Isaiah Likely.
Mm-hmm.
Derrick Henry, yes, he's 31. But they keep winning games. They can probably get another running back in these drafts. Not Derrick Henry necessarily, but you've discovered Lamar Jackson is, in fact, a pretty good passer and has gotten better almost every year. I think both these teams have pretty high ceilings. It's more the mental aspect. It is more the feeling of, when is it going to be us? What more do we need to do? I think as fans, it's maybe easier come, you know, February, March, when the draft season starts to ramp up. It's like, ooh, we got 9 draft picks. Like, we've got this cap space. We re-sign this person. Like, ooh, that's exciting.
Right.
I think for the teams, it's a little bit more challenging. You know, the draft does not necessarily mean great things for some of these guys. For some of them, it means, cool, I'm going to get replaced.
Right. And it's also the frustration levels, too. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not only the fact that, you know, if you have to replace guys or guys are worried about getting replaced, that whole mental aspect of everything, but it's the, oh, here we go again.
Yep.
We're in the same spot. We can't get past it. What are we going to do? And then you could have, and I'm neither of these teams are having these problems that we know of, but like you could have people turn on each other and people get frustrated, and that's where you have internal strife. The Eagles went through this season. I mean, there was a lot of things going on behind closed doors that were being talked about. I still don't think they're resolved. I mean, especially with a guy like A.J. Brown reading a basic, like a self-help book on the sideline. I think that's around what the book was. And
so good.
Good for him for like trying to fix it, but like maybe not in the game. Like, don't do that in the game, maybe. But like, that's the stuff you can run into. Because like, I mean, look at the Eagles. They're at this point too. Like, if you want to look around the league at other teams that are kind of in the same spot of this high expectation but always falling short of it, you got the Eagles. You got
the 49ers.
I mean, maybe not so much this year because of all the injuries and such. But like,
no, they made the Super Bowl last year though. I mean, they've lost to the Chiefs twice in it. I mean,
yeah.
And no, their team is just run out of time.
It's funny that there's four teams in all very similar situations that are running into the same problem, and it's the Kansas City Chiefs.
It's the Chiefs.
So frustrating.
I say it a lot, but they take the air out of the room. It is going to be very difficult to talk about this era of greatness because it does feel like, I'm not saying it's going to definitively end this way, but it feels like, yeah, but then every season ended with like the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, either winning it or just coming just short. You know, what are we joking now? The AFC Championship is just the Arrowhead Invitational. You know, it feels like we're kind of getting to that point. Is Kelce and Reed going to be there forever? No, but Mahomes kind of himself almost feels inevitable. But so do Jackson Allen. It's just, to me, it feels like whichever team wins this game is going to be Kansas City.
Because
it has to happen.
Is this how things felt back when the Patriots were on their run? We just didn't know it because it was the middle of the drought. Me and you specifically were younger, so it's not as big of an effect on our lives what happens in the Super Bowl. But, you know, for Bills fans, when it was the Patriots were on all their runs and stuff, it was up. The Patriots are in town. They're going to beat the crap out of us.
Yeah.
And where are we picking this year? Like that sort of thing, because the drought was going on. But like looking at other teams and like the league as a whole, I don't feel like there's ever been a dynasty like this one where it's like, yeah, the Patriots were dominant, but other teams could also get up there and beat them.
And just couldn't get past them specifically.
Right.
I think there's somewhat of a feeling there. I will say I think this is the most talented the NFL's been in terms of quarterback play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think in terms of like the elite, you can just see he's a Hall of Famer kind of guy. There's never been more in the NFL playing it at an equal level. Like, I mean, you would have guys like Elway at the end of their career, just as, you know, Manning's coming in or whatever, or Favre, you know, just as Manning and Brady are coming in and they're at the tail end. No, this is like all of these guys are like in their mid to late 20s, and they're all playing at an exceptionally high level. And when you look at that too, it was a lot of, I mean, it's why we talked about Brady Manning so much. There's this feeling that if Brady wasn't there, Manning would have just won like 7 Super Bowls. And likewise, if Manning wasn't there, Brady probably wins like 9.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, Roethlisberger was never on those guys' levels. Never.
What's also,
even Rivers. As much as I do like Philip Rivers, he was not comparable to Tom Brady and Peyton Manning at the height of their powers. Manning's biggest problem is he could not figure out the Patriots' defense for a good majority of his career. He had bad playoff losses. They sort of figured it out. I love the playoffs, and I've been rewatching stuff on an NFL throwback YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
The 03 playoffs. We don't talk about that as like just an absurd run by Manning, because it's when he wins his first playoff game at 27. He puts up a near identical stat line to Allen in the perfect game against the Patriots in 21. And then there's the no punt game the next week against the Chiefs with Trent Green and Pierce Holmes and Dick Vermeil. It's a no punt game. Manning's the same thing. He's nearly perfect. And it's all done away in the AFC Championship game. He has 1 touchdown, 4 picks.
Yeah.
He just could not figure them out. Roethlisberger was never on those guys' level. He had great teams, though, and it did allow him to get a Super Bowl ring out of it. You know, you had Eli, you know, kind of going on these runs and winning them. It also doesn't feel like, though, we're ever going to get that. Like, Stafford was near perfect in their playoff run to go win it. I mean, they had the great run against Tampa. They were playing exceptionally well against the Cincinnati Bengals in that playoff. Now it just feels like Lamar is going to win his third MVP. This is his best season. If it weren't for last year, I would be saying Lamar should win MVP. But last year kind of ruined the voting for me, not just that, with DeMar Hamlin as well. Allen has already had a playoff run for the ages where in two games, 9 touchdowns, no picks. Burrow has kind of gone on these runs where they've won games bang, 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 all on the road, or you know, two of them on the road to get to a Super Bowl. There's so many talented guys, but all of the oxygen is taken up by one guy. Hurts doesn't have a Super Bowl. The 49ers in this run don't have a Super Bowl. It's all kind of Chiefs, 1 year with Stafford and Brady right at the end.
I think it's also interesting, like looking back at the Patriots kind of era.
They went 10 years without winning one.
Right, but you also look at that, even in the years they were in, there were so many different teams. There was so much variance. There were so many different guys getting in there, or teams making a Cinderella run, or things like that. Like, the Patriots, sure. I mean, obviously you have, like, the Seahawks and the Broncos are in there a bunch. The 49ers are in there a couple times. The Giants, obviously. But, like, I mean, you have a year where it's Colts-Bears. I mean, the 07 Super Bowl was...
Yeah.
Or 06, yeah. It was Colts-Bears.
Rex Grossman made a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. Like, and I'm not saying that's not possible now, but it feels like all of these teams that could go on these Cinderella runs, like the Commanders this year, for example, they could come in and be as electrifying as they were against the Buccaneers, and then they're going to come in next week and just get destroyed by the Lions.
Yeah.
But, and to be fair, the Lions are kind of new to this. They've only been here for a couple years now where they've kind of had this return or this kind of emergence, essentially. But like, or, you know, another example, the Rams with the Eagles, right? Like, the Eagles could just be another year of shutting down an NFC team that's really good. That's kind of how this has all felt lately, is you have these four or five teams, and thankfully the Bills are one of them, where they just every year it's, yep, they're going to shut down some young, hopeful team's playoff hopes, and it's going to be another year where it's Mahomes and Allen or Mahomes and Lamar, and you're going to move on. And I'm not trying to sound negative by saying this. It's just you look back at that era where the Patriots were, quote-unquote, so dominant, and you have so many different teams that they had to take on, so many different players that got shots at the Super Bowl, that got chances, that even beat the Patriots at times. Like, there's a lot more to be desired about that dynasty, as sucky as it was, than there is in this one. Like, this one is just so much more deflating because it's the same people. It's not even a new team, really. It's Mahomes and Kelsey and
Reed. The final four of the AFC are the same as last year.
Yeah.
The final four of the AFC are the exact same as last year.
That too.
It does not feel like we're going to get much quote-unquote parity. There is and we've been talking about it much of this year, there is a very distinct top and a very distinct bottom. And then there's like a little bit of a middle ground. There's some teams like building to what they're going to be.
There's teams falling off, like the Bengals.
Bengals, Steelers, like they were in the playoffs, well, but you can see they're going to start falling
the
off.
The Steelers are different than the Bengals, because the Bengals, it's you have all these young guys, but you're not paying any of them, so they're just walking away.
Steelers can't figure out the quarterback position. If we're being in serious.
Steelers can't figure out a lot of things.
I think the Bengals are going to take the Steelers spot, and I could see a team like New England with all of their cap space, Drake May, Mike Vrabel, they could maybe challenge for a playoff spot, especially how bad the Dolphins and Jets appear to be going into next year, and the Colts.
Yeah, the Colts are really falling apart.
But it's the same teams at the top. I'd argue it's the same teams in the NFC too. You're just replacing the Cowboys with Washington. Minnesota was interesting this year, but they were in 2 years ago. It's going to be Philadelphia, Detroit, and one of Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo.
Yep. And again,
Super Bowl winner will be one of those five teams.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound negative about it, because again, we are part of this. The Bills are part of this.
Oh yeah,
it's exciting to be the dominant team for once, or part of the dominant teams for once. But it does kind of get that tired storyline of who's going to knock off the Chiefs, what are the Ravens and Bills going to do, how are they going to beat Mahomes? It's just you want somebody else in here for once. Like, you want something else to talk about, like, in terms of, instead of just looking at Patrick Mahomes all the time. Like, that's the real common denominator here. Yeah. It's frustrating to see them always there, because if this was the AFC Championship game where one of these two quarterbacks was finally going to get to a Super Bowl, I won't care who's in the other side of it. It could be the 49ers again for all I care. It's fine. But like, it's more so the fact that you want something different than a Super Bowl with Reed and Mahomes.
again, and them kind of like solidifying, like, just
and another year of oh yeah, we really didn't think we were going to be there this year, and it was a really hard year, but hey, we got here, and it was not really fun.
We're simply better than everybody at everything we do,
right?
And it's frustrating because I think this is a great era of the NFL. I think there's going to be a lot of playoff games that are just replayed endlessly on NFL Network and ESPN and what have you. And
we've already had a ton,
and guys who are going to be talked about, you know, decades from now.
Yeah,
but right now, there's one guy getting Super Bowls, and I pointed this a lot, and I did early in Jackson and Allen's career and Burrow's career too, of like, I can think of one truly great quarterback in the era where quarterbacks meant a lot, because I've kind of changed this definition a little bit because Fran Tarkenton was on this list for a while. But of the truly great, you just know it when you see it. They're one or two every single year. They might have a year where the other guy takes them, but like, they're definitively so great they need to have a Super Bowl. Dan Marino's like the one guy that doesn't have one. And I know Bills and Dolphins in the 90s was a fun rivalry. Those Dolphin teams were not good. They were not good. The Bills were significantly better than them. John Elway eventually got two. Kelly, I love him. He was never in the same category as Marino and Elway. He was never in the same category as Steve Young. They were better quarterbacks. The Bills had better teams than a lot of those guys. They just kind of ran into the Cowboys or a hot, like, Mark Rippon Washington team. You know, these great quarterbacks get at least one. Manning finally got his first one. He threw three touchdowns and seven picks in the playoffs in 06. But he finally got one. I find it hard to believe that we're going to have three or four of these guys not get one. I find that very, very hard to believe. And I think Alan Lamar up there for those guys that are just, they're going to get one before all said and done. And they're going to do it for these cities. No one's pulling a Brady Rodgers having not won one and all of a sudden doing the second. I can't see it. 803-0550, the number two call. Zach Jones and Josh Mint here for until 12 o'clock as we get you ready for Sabres Live. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Mint hanging with you here for just a few more minutes on a Tuesday. No Sabres tonight. They play tomorrow. Weird game tomorrow. It's at 6 o'clock instead of 7. So Sabres pregame will start tomorrow at 5 p.m. Josh, though, the Australian Open is going on. You said you had something going on from there?
Yeah, I saw an interesting tweet earlier today, and I had to go out and confirm it because if it was true, it was really cool. So I saw this tweet from Sid, and I think he either just is watching the Australian Open or just covers it. It looks like he's just watching it. The Australian Open on YouTube, on their live stream, due to rights issues, are getting around the rights issues by replacing real players with Nintendo Wii Sports tennis characters. It's amazing.
Yes.
I double-checked it on YouTube. All of their streams, after the players are introduced, they're walking out on the courts, they're doing their warm-ups, it switches over to a Wii Sports looking match. Like, it doesn't look exactly like Wii Sports, but it also is definitely not real life, and it is awesome. Like, it's really funny to see. But you know, I just thought it was kind of interesting that even though it's the Australian Open and it's their own YouTube channel, they can't stream it on YouTube, which is just kind of weird.
That's tough.
But yeah, so I just want to see one of these guys lose it and smash their racket on the ground as a Wii Sports character. But, you know, just a funny bit of
just with their head hanging low, you know how they, like, in Wii Sports when you lose your head.
And they have the little, like scribbles above their head because they're frustrated. Yeah, no, I would love nothing more than that to happen. So
what about if they get the point, you see the, you know, the music notes that...
Yeah, the music notes that pop up above their head. No, they, because I'm watching a highlight, there's the Yannick Sinner got a point and nothing special happens. They're not doing any extra effects with it or anything like that, but it does show you how far sports have come in terms of, you know, animation and streaming and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But
we do also have some sports tonight. Week number two of the TGL Golf League, and tonight is going to be the debuts for Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy as the Los Angeles Golf Club takes on Jupiter Links Golf Club.
You going to pick a team for this?
Nope. I didn't watch last week. I'm excited to check this out because I heard good reviews. I'm excited. It starts at 7 p.m. tonight. It's going to be on ESPN.
That's big, too, because it was on at 9 last week.
What's also nice, too, for me, it'll be like, all right, it's Tiger versus Rory. This will be easier to watch.
Right.
I'll enjoy seeing these guys. That should be fun. And yeah, it's every Tuesday, I think, for like the next few weeks, and then it starts to go like Monday, Tuesday, Monday, Tuesday.
I do really like that this is kind of a new thing that they're trying out, because it's a nice, like, there's a long break for golf, right? Like, it's a nice lead up to
a lull period. Not everyone's going to take part in the Hawaiian circuit.
Yeah, and it's a nice lead up to like the Masters and all that. It gets mm-hmm. you going. Gets you going for like, hey, I want to go to a simulator now, and I want to go check things out and hit some golf balls.
No, buddy, I have been there for like 3 weeks. It's killing me. That's going to do it for me and Josh. Coming up next after a quick timeout, you're going to have Sabres Live, as the Sabres will be back in action tomorrow night against the Carolina Hurricanes. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone. This is WGR.